The Lord, Psalm 23, is my shepherd. Of all the biblical metaphors connected with the words, the Lord is my, this one is the richest, because the word shepherd is unfolded by David in Psalm 23 to be descriptive of the Lord and His relationship with each individual sheep or believer in at least 14 different aspects. We have no lack of spiritual application here. So what are those different facets of this blessing to His people, to His being our shepherd, as they are unfolded by David in these six poetic verses in Psalm 23? Let's begin by reading the text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here in verse 1, we have a summary statement of the psalm. God provides for the needs of His people. He has promised us, and that is because Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd. He's not named in Psalm 23, but from what is taught in the New Testament and even the previous psalm, we know Jesus is the Good Shepherd. John 10:11 says, Jesus speaking, I am the Good Shepherd. That's how we know Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He comes right out and says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. This is a New Testament claim to deity by Jesus. By taking this title as Good Shepherd, Jesus is telling the people and He's telling us that He is God in the flesh. The basis for these blessings from our great shepherd is found in the previous Psalm 22. The first verse of Psalm 22:1 reads, my God, why have you forsaken me? And why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? These words were quoted by Christ as He was dying on the cross for the sins of His people. It is only by His saving death that His people have come to partake in the benefits of His shepherding ministry. So it is because of the saving death of Christ that Moses was able to write of the blessing of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 9. Speaking to Israel, he speaks about a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. And Isaiah 40, verse 11, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The rich green pasture God has given the believer is His word, which brings us rest, refreshment, and nourishment along the way. A green pasture is certainly a pleasant place for sheep to rest. Sunday is our day of rest. It provides us a cessation from work before the start of the next week. Our green pastures are the Scriptures. Are they your source of spiritual rest, refreshment, and nourishment? He leads us beside the still waters. Here is the influence and the grace of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Sheep cannot swim. Did you know that? They will not go near rushing, turbulent waters. If they would happen to fall in, their absorbent wool would immediately sink them. Christ our shepherd leads his people to drink all we would desire of the stream of living waters without fear of danger. A green pasture beside the still waters is a comfortable place to rest. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that a nice promise? My yoke, the Lord says, is easy and my burden is light. Here we see the shepherd's gentleness and tender care. The word of the Lord is our delightful food and drink. Our shepherd has provided us lush green pastures and fresh still waters. The sheep has abundant rest, refreshment, and nourishment from the word of God. Our shepherd also provides us spiritual nourishment as well as physical nourishment. He gives us our daily bread, as you recall. We pray for it in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's just another piece of the goodness of God to his sheep. Verse 2 continues, He leads me beside the still waters. We have a hymn related to these words in the hymnal, the songbook, He Leads Me. And let me just review a couple stanzas from this wonderful song, number 148, which we've already sung. You know, sometimes we pick up the songbook or hymnal and we read and sing songs, and we don't really pay attention to what the song is saying. But in He Leadeth Me, let me read some of this wonderful song. He leads me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leads me. And the second stanza, sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometime where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. We have such comforts as that throughout the Word of God. Related to this, Charles Spurgeon has said, some distracted souls would give worlds if they could but do this. He means the enjoyment of the abundance of rest, refreshment, and nourishment. They know the blessedness of it. You know, we can talk to people about this, but not all of them can really say genuinely that this blessedness belongs to them. That was certainly my experience 49 years ago at the University of Northern Iowa. I had, as some of my friends, Christians, and they'd speak about this peace, this blessedness, this joy, this love for God. And that was something that I never really knew in my own experience as a Roman Catholic until I met someone who shared with me over about a week and a half the blessed truths of the gospel. And I could see in my own life after about a week and a half of that when I became a Christian, that change in my life where I knew that refreshment, that rest, that nourishment. I knew God's love, that joy, that peace. The blessedness of the believer is something you can see. And you can even see in your own life whether that exists or not. And this reminds me of another song, also speaking of the same abundance of rest, refreshment, and nourishment. Maybe you've heard it. It's not in your songbook or in my hymnal, which I brought along, but it goes like this. Maybe some of us have heard this. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. Easy words to memorize, to remember. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. Speaking those same truths that the sheep of Psalm 23 experienced. And again, by singing these words, one immediately knows whether they truly apply to one's own life or not. These words can begin to make you wonder if you really know God. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He restores it with life, strength, reviving, and sanctifying, with needed vitality, freshness, and wisdom. A sheep always stands in need of spiritual renewal. The sheep cannot cleanse itself from the constant pollution of sin. The shepherd must do it himself by the washing of regeneration. Now that word regeneration is a long $8 theological word, but it explains how we get saved. It's the truth of Titus 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Here is how we get saved. It's an act of God that cleanses us from sin, changes our mind about the pleasures of sin, and turns our hearts to obey God willingly and eagerly. Man's part is to repent and believe the gospel. To repent is to turn away from your sin and towards God, a holy God who cannot stand to look at sin. The shepherd leads me. As we continue in verse 3, here is cause for yet another hymn, hymn number 78, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And I'd like to just turn to that and read a couple of stanzas from that, if I could. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Second stanza, we are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. So much good truth in your songbook about Psalm 23. The truth of God's great care for us through Jesus Christ. He speaks about the paths of righteousness. Being on this path means that we obey His commands. And it's on His terms, not our own. We don't look at ourselves and say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. No, the word that judges us is God's word. He has laid out His terms of forgiveness and righteousness and holiness. This is the blessing of sanctification. Isaiah 42 verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you. That's God's promise to us. The Good Shepherd is our loving caretaker. He says in verse 3, it's for His name's sake. This means His saving us is for the glory of His own name. Here's the reason why He does this. He does it just for His own name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you know shadows cannot really hurt you or me? Don't let shadows make you afraid. I know it can be kind of scary sometimes when we're walking in shadows. We don't know what we're going to run into. But God knows about the shadows. And He is our light in the darkness. Psalm 18, verse 28. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. So, what follows? I will fear no evil. Because you are with me. Here's the joy of the presence of God. Here's the confidence that comes from the presence of God. And what is the shadow of death spoken of here in verse 4? It may be sickness. It may be a lot of things. Gloom, depression, grief, sorrow, heartache, and loss. All these can be shadows of death. These darken our path and our walk from time to time. But remember, our shepherd is with us. For Hebrews 13:5, He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So a question comes from this. Do you know that joy and confidence that comes from the presence of God? Psalm 30 verse 5, For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. 2 Corinthians 4:17, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more eternal, exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 4 continues, Your rod and your staff, The rod is for the sheep's comfort, protection, and discipline. It's a symbol of the shepherd's authority and his staff. The staff is used to gently guide and comfort the sheep and to protect them against predators. This figure teaches us that the Lord disciplines or chastens those whom he loves. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Do you sometimes wonder if God cares more for you than for sparrows? Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You are of more value than they. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And Spurgeon says this, let us be of Paul's mind. Paul wrote, to die is gain, Philippians 1:21. Departing to be with Christ is far better, Philippians 1:23. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We can have peacefulness and rest, even in the presence of our enemies. We have great security here. The fellowship of the King is our safety. Here is a prepared banquet in verse 5. Spurgeon says, nothing is hurried. There's no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy's right outside the door, but we're going to sit down to enjoy fellowship at the table. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table. And the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. Oh, Spurgeon says, the peace which Jehovah gives to his people, even in the midst of the most trying circumstances. And verse 5 continues, you anoint my head with oil. We each have a fresh anointing from God in the presence of our enemies for each day's duties. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we wake up in the morning, and we're so troubled, so weighted down by something the previous evening, and the morning comes and we go, well, after a good night's sleep, I don't feel too badly about that thing that was worrying me last night. You anoint my head with oil, fresh anointing daily. This oil brings us gladness. It's a new grace from on high. And the end of the verse, verse 5, the psalmist David writes, my cup runs over. I have more than enough. Here is God giving us more than our needs. Here is our great satisfaction in our God. If you're discouraged today, your cup cannot run over. Do you have a leaky cup today? Happy is the man or woman who has found contentment in his God. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy. Every day I live, God is good to me. By His mercy, we do not receive what we deserve. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. We don't always have to be following after goodness and mercy to try to catch them. God says, through David, they are following us. He's keeping track of us and keeping us within range of finding that goodness and mercy. Mrs. Charles Cowman has written of this verse, Jesus goes before me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me. So, isn't that about as good a deal as you can find? Jesus is ahead of me, and goodness and mercy are following me. Is that not a good guard on our lives? And the psalmist continues, this takes place not just for a day or two, but all the days of my life. Be not anxious for the troubles of days gone by, nor of those yet ahead. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. It does not overcome it. The light overcomes darkness. Darkness does not overcome light. The light of life contrasts the shadowy lines of darkness and death we saw in verse 4. God's goodness and mercy follow me in both days of feasting and in days of fasting. And the psalmist continues, and I will dwell. The good shepherd and his sheep are never separated in the house of the Lord forever. Is that not good news? In conclusion, the phrase, the Lord is my, is completed or filled out in more than a dozen different ways in Scripture. We've looked at just one example, that of the Lord being our shepherd in Psalm 23. And we have considered about 14 different facets of that one metaphor. Praise God for the richness He has given us of scriptural truth about our relationship with Him as our good shepherd. And let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for the rest, the refreshment, the nourishment that we have in You and in our Word, that we have in our hands, Your Word given to us. Thank You for the enjoyment of Your love that we can experience. Your love like a fountain, Your joy like an ocean that we can swim in, and Your peace like a river. You are so very good to us because of what Christ has done for us. We just thank You for that goodness, and thank You for everyone that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.